right. Well, I think we're live and ready to go here. This is week two of our pilot episode of Chopping It Up with Fresh with Chef Don. So thank you for all of our freshitarians out there for joining in. We're super excited today. We have two more great guests on our show this afternoon. One, actually a good friend of ours, Debbie, from Youngstown Click, and this wonderful lady here, Caroline, my better half. So we have a couple things we're going to talk about, just like we did last week, kind of keep the same flow to it. We'll have some fun questions, maybe ask some things about that, see what's going on in your worlds. We'll talk about some upcoming events this weekend, I think. We'll have a little cooking segment. Our friends at Durick's Butcher Shop today, I stopped out and got a nice piece of beef tenderloin. We're going to maybe prepare that here in a little bit right behind me. So let's get started with Debbie. Debbie, wow, it's been just a week since I've seen you last, and it was here. But an interesting thing popped up on my Facebook post. Actually, it was a year ago on the 25th.
Can you believe that?
That you actually reached out to me to interview us about YoFresh, right? And I was thinking, wow, and I look back over the year, and you've actually, you know, we've been both so busy, we haven't had as much time to connect maybe as we wanted to. But I was thinking back, we have actually had a lot of good things we've got to do together. You've come out and helped us at a couple different events. We had a little mini series there, Fresh Slice, right?
Yeah.
You've been on board for a couple events. We've been to some functions together, some community events together. So it's been really quite an interesting year to even now be here to have you and ask you questions, right? This is super exciting.
I'm not used to being on this side.
Right? Me neither. This is really weird. So let's talk about Youngstown Click. I know what it is, and it's your favorite thing. But maybe some people out here really don't know what Youngstown Click is or haven't caught on yet. So let's get them caught up and tell them about what it is and what we got going on with it.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
For having me on here. Okay. So Youngstown Click is, have you ever been on the outside of a click where you feel like you're just disconnected and not a part of every
single day of my life?
Right. I feel like it's a huge problem in this area, but just in this day and age. I feel like we get so focused and we find our favorite things to do and our favorite people to do it with. And next thing you know, our world has become smaller and smaller and smaller. And so Youngstown Click is a way of connecting local places and faces and making connections. So I know you guys, and now even on a personal level, we talk just so many around the table about so many different things, but I wouldn't have met you had it not been for Youngstown Click. And another friend of ours is the one who introduced because of Youngstown Click. And I hear these stories from a lot of the click will say that they tried a place or went somewhere because they saw it on Youngstown Click. And that just makes my heart so happy because that's the idea. Life is too short to live a boring life. I want to put that on a t-shirt.
That's
so
a good one.
Life is too short to stay in a rut is what it's going to say. Because we all do it. I don't care who you are. You get into your rut and your routine. And so Youngstown Click is a way of expanding your click if you want to be a part. So none of this like, oh, hey, us four, no more. It's literally if you want to be a part of it and you bring value and you want to just log on and kind of connect to the world around you, that's what Youngstown Click is for. And it's going to be so much more once the website's done.
That's really great. Exciting. You mentioned a shirt. You want to say that again for one more time? You mentioned a shirt. What did you want on your shirt?
Life is too short to stay in a rut.
A quick shout out to my friend Maurice, Scott over at Youngstown Apparel.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he can help us out with something like that. But today we're repping his Rust Belt brand wear here from the Youngstown Apparel, one of my favorites as well. So a quick little tie in there. But even I was thinking, too, as you were talking, even like the local ties and people that we've met, it's come full circle, even people along your journey that you didn't even knew that I came across, right? Conversations like, oh, wow,
Mutual
right?
Friend John Rittenhour.
Right,
mutual
you're like, what? We talked, it wasn't always that way. There was a time you didn't want to be a mutual friend of Don Rittenhour. You wouldn't tell anybody if you were.
Right.
But it's super exciting being about friends is because you even actually have a responsible really to bring in one of our employees to our table with YoFresh, right? With one of your friends. How cool is that, right?
That is so cool. And she loves working for you guys.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
She loves cooking and being able to be a part of that. So,
and it's just those little events.
Such a great person too. You know who you are.
You know those little things out there. those little moments though, right? Like again, it's taking the time and getting outside of yourself maybe and talking to another person. And even again, for you, that was back when still when interviews were really fresh to me and YoFresh, and I was kind of being really uncomfortable and intimidated. Even at the time, like, who even wants to watch somebody talk to me? And here we are now, and I'm still saying the same thing. But again, we're very excited about that stuff. So let's see, local things. What are some of your favorite local things that you found on Youngstown Click that maybe is off the beaten path that maybe some of our viewers might not even know of, that have maybe been here their whole lives and not even known about?
So one of the things that I have just recently discovered is there is a campground right here on Western Reserve Road. Joe actually is the one that told me about that last interview. And I'm just like, man, I want to go camping. I always thought you had to go like an hour away. And I'm not a camper, but I like the idea of it. So I'm like a newbie. So that's something that I'm super excited to check out. Have you been to the You Me We coffee shop over in, it's on Tippecanoe and 224?
I have not.
It's literally like stepping into a little Los Angeles boutique, but super great coffee. They bring in coffee, so it's unlike any other coffee that you'd experience in this area, which I like the diversity. I like being able to try all the different ones. And so this is yet another type of coffee. They have refreshers, and then they also have kind of combined with the home goods side of Burke Decor. So you can actually shop and kind of enjoy the decor side of things as well. So really cool people. And I enjoy going there. I take my friends when they come in from out of town as well.
That's great. I know there's a couple other like pop-up shops like that. It seems to be kind of a trendy thing now, right? Because you're able to get like double the foot traffic, right? Yeah. So it's you're increasing your market and your foot traffic and getting different clientele in by having the space. That's actually a great idea.
To be honest with you, there's so many places that I've discovered that I would have never discovered, like the Center for Sound Therapy. I would have driven past that all day and never known what it is. Now I recognize it. Or the little town of Salem. They are experiencing such, you guys could talk a little bit more about that. But man, I just took my nephews to the soda fountain.
The Soda Works, yeah.
And you could bring your own food in. So we brought our own food. I mean, from Josie's down the street.
And then
played games, no phones or anything. We had such a great time. And even afterwards, just the days following, I was like, that was a really nice time that we had there. So that's just one of the things in downtown Salem, the little town of Columbiana. I've met some great people in Columbiana. Youngstown, I always talk about the region between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, because really we're all in the same region. And I just feel like if we all were connected a little bit more, I mean, most of you guys already know about Youngstown Flea. So the things that are a little
this
bit
weekend,
more
actually, well, yep. Yeah, that's this weekend. A shout out for Youngstown Flea coming up right here downtown. Another great, you know, local thing to do with great local people, great local entrepreneurs and products. Again, Derek McDowell does a great job with that and promoting that as well. But yeah, we love the great little local finds. You mentioned Salem and Columbiana too. And again, like there's just so many great little things out there. We get stuck in like our own little cliques, right?
Yeah,
where we get stuck in our own little cliques, and we do our own little own routines, and we like to go to the same place and get the same thing off the menu. I'm very guilty of this. I'm Mr. Three Beef Tacos, right? From Mexican restaurant. Any Mexican restaurant I go, I get three beef tacos.
I love tacos. Did you just see how Steel Town Sunrise open?
I did. I realized that was actually from Warren, right? Sunrise Warren. Because at first I was like, oh, brunch spot. Yes.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought.
That was a little disappointed. But then I seen it with Sunrise, related with Sunrise and Warren. Yeah. So it's great to see them as, again, another little local staple, right? And like you said, the Youngstown, again, we tend to think of just right here downtown. But I have that same mindset. Again, it's that bigger community. And I think if we all kind of got into that more of a mindset, it would actually benefit our area tremendously, because there's so much division. Even again, like, oh, I'm not from Youngstown, I live in Boardman, or vice versa, or right. And again, even amongst the high schools around here, there's so much competitiveness with high school football and high school sports, that right, like, you're not from here, you're from here, but really we're all right here in the same community. And like, again, all the stuff that happens here, no matter what, if you don't live right here or not, like in this area, it trickles out. Like, it's all like the heart and the blood flow. It's the same kind of thing. It's where it does. It might not, it might not really affect you on a daily basis because it's not outside your doorstep. It definitely affects you on like a community basis because it's in the area. And as the future, as we grow, that's actually another good question that could lead us to, what's something you would like to see over the next few years or so in this area that you feel would have a big impact and bring more to the younger generations, like something like piece that, like, maybe we didn't have growing up in the area, that there's something that is something like a piece or something to do in the area that you think would really change and benefit Youngstown.
Well, I know that when I was growing up, I loved going to Friday night skates skate and all these different things that were cooler than they seem to be now. But I really think that the general similarity would be having a place that people can go and hang out and connect. It used to be you'd connect at the football games, and now there's so many different things. I remember driving into parking lots and literally hanging out in parking lots.
Taco Bell 224.
Yes, yes,
I've probably seen you there a couple times myself, right? Cruising around in my beer car with my friend Mark. I say we had a tape deck in the back with Big D batteries in it because we had to listen to a Soundgarden CD, yeah. I believe, at the time, right?
Yeah,
that's what we did.
Yankee Lake truck night,
yeah,
and stuff like that. I just feel like some of that stuff is, I'm not saying to bring that up, I'm just saying to find something that people could go and hang out. The people who found it, did the soda fountain, that was what they were answering, that need of a place to hang out for younger people that who are not going to the bars, who are not just drinking and that type of thing, you know. So I really would like to see something that, you know, probably one of my most overused words is going to be connection. Connection, connection, connection makes us all stronger. It's like the good aspect of a spider web, right? Is that all the connections interweave, and it's actually proven that when something hits that spider web, that and it's there's a stress there, the rest of it actually gets stronger. It's fascinating. It's almost like smart. I mean, we can't create something. Yeah, it's like smart technology, but we can't create something like that. Go ahead.
So I think just piggybacking off her idea, reaching that younger generation with like an app with a passport of like all the cool places you can go and things you can do. That way we're exposing the younger generation to things that still are here. So maybe they earn virtual points for going to the skating rink or going down to Cast Iron Soda Works and things that are kid friendly and activities they can be doing, go rock climbing, go to the trampoline park, things like that. And some type of app that would track. I know Dawn and I have talked about this, that we almost need like a date app that lists all these local places and we can like check it off as we've gone and spin the wheel and go. Or we saw like a Tinder
if there's
for
any software developers out there.
Yes.
You know, I have ideas, they have ideas. Just join the conversation.
Yeah. So, but reaching that younger generation with the apps, you know, we can't do a paper passport. They're going to lose it. They're not going to find it. I'll lose it. But having something that, you know, maybe there's a party at the end of the year and you get so many points, you get to come do this cool, giant event to the public, but it's bringing people together and planning events that way.
You know what, when I lived in Oklahoma, they actually had a youth group that had, it was a huge warehouse and it didn't matter who you were, what school you went to, it was the place to be. They had skate ramps in there. They had all kinds of stuff. And I thought if we could create something like that, and of course there's the insurance, everybody's so scared to do things. So it would take a lot to get there, but basically a place where people could just come together without having to go drink, without having to go, you know, even sit at a counter and eat and then feel like you got to move as soon as you're done. Just a place to be, just a place that somebody, you might run into some. I can't tell you how many people that is their biggest need right now. I just interviewed a guy who does a dating service, and you guys are going to see that on Youngstown Click. But basically he helps people connect who feel disconnected in the dating world. And so no matter where you are, a child or an adult, or even like you said, married and just looking for something else to try for date night. I mean,
connection's huge.
Endless, yes.
And even some of the things you mentioned, like there's so many things locally here, again, just offhand, like the Butler. I know that we have the local skating rinks, the skate park. I know that there was one time there was something like that going on in Austintown, I believe. I don't know if that's still there. The rock climbing wall place in Boardman.
Yeah.
Ascend, right? Is that what it is? Ascend. There's just so many things to do. And so much. We've talked about it. We haven't made it yet.
Gonna see how far you got up.
All right, I haven't made it there yet. So let's see. What is your why, Debbie? Like, what's your why? We're gonna talk more about the why later. And actually, my prop is behind me, so I kind of skipped it, but I'll pull it out here. And I said last week when you were here, I talked about this, and I don't think that got aired, so I'll talk about it a little bit more too. But what's your why?
My why would be to make the world better than I left it, but not just that. That sounds so cliche. Everybody wants to, you know, make.
Not everybody does, though.
Okay. But my why is truly to make the life of the people around me richer. And it could come from being a middle child and already being a connecting point. But just that makes me so joyful to see that something that I did brought joy to somebody else. And so obviously that's just my why in one facet of my life, because you can't live your life seeking for the approval of others. But my ultimate why as far as a person comes from living the purpose that I was created for by my creator.
Yeah.
And that gives me such purpose, because when I start floundering in that, I could go back, and there many, I don't know how many of you guys have heard my story, but there was a time I had no idea. I wasn't even sure that I would ever genuinely laugh again, because I was so, everything had become so fake and routine, and like, and I'd want to so much. And I would take pictures and be like, "Why? Oh, I don't like that picture. I feel so fake." But I just genuinely did not know if I'd ever laugh again. So when people say, "Oh man, I love your laugh," or that type of thing, there's such a joy, because I could go back and find my connection with my creator, my connection to what my purpose
Your
is.
Purpose.
So yeah, that's true. My overall why. But as far as Youngstown Click is literally to make the city better, to literally hold up a mirror to the people I encounter and show them what could be.
Sure.
How they could be a part of a bigger picture. And I think that's the thing. We could watch TV and be like, "Oh, that's a celebrity. Oh, that's a magazine." And you don't see, you're not connected to the people in Hollywood. You're not connected to the people doing movies. Maybe your money is, you know what I'm saying? But you're not connected. And my desire is to hold up a mirror and say, "This is how you are connected to the bigger picture."
That's beautiful. That's actually one of the reasons, again, I know that we've actually had you help us out on a couple of events. And that's because of even like you touched on your smile, your laughter, and your personality that you bring to the table. It's exuberant and it's bright, and it's a beautiful thing. And again, it's part of why we like to have you around ourselves. Because again, you definitely make things brighter and bring a smile to people's face. So we definitely understand your why, and we appreciate that too. Because again, it's really important of having that. Again, we'll touch on that a little bit later when we talk about some of the books and stuff I've read, and some people that have encouraged me along my journey. And again, a lot of my life has kind of changed recently once my why has kind of became a little bit more clear. So let's take a few minutes, and now let's turn to you, to Caroline. So we grab the other mic here. Sure. Awesome.
Unless you want to hear me breathe.
deep breaths. Lamaze class is at 7:30. So Caroline, yeah. We know you got a lot going on, and we're going to save some of your swim stuff. Yeah. We want to talk about that more at a later date, you said, more around Swim Awareness Month and stuff like that.
But I'll mention it. So yeah. What I do outside of YoFresh is I work with individuals with special needs or water trauma and anxiety, and make sure that they're comfortable and giving them access to aquatics and the pool. So the number one cause of death for a person with autism is drowning, because they tend to elope and they're attracted to the water, and water's calming. And so I work to reduce that statistic directly here in our community. So right now I'm teaching 2 days a week, all day Sundays and Thursday nights, and then Tuesdays coming up, but that's outside of YoFresh.
Right. Now. So
COVID shifted the world a little.
Right. So let's see. My little notes here says you're definitely a big major role and the real driving force behind the scenes of YoFresh. I know, like, we might be used to seeing Chef Don on TV and Chef Don promoting YoFresh, but I think without Caroline, there really would not be
not comfortable in the camera.
So we want to thank you for that. You've seen a blank canvas. You got to see part of me before this, right? And before YoFresh was a thing. You've actually pulled out a lot of my strengths. You've taught me many things, and you've helped me achieve many of my recent goals and ideas and have them become reality. So with that being said, what has been one of the hardest things on a business level as co-owner? And even maybe a little deeper, like, once we get to that point, what's it like being on the other side to watch the growth?
Sure. So it was really hard in the beginning, because I could clearly, one of my skills is seeing the vision, you know, 10 steps ahead. And I could see where YoFresh could go even before some of the opportunities that have happened. And getting you to believe and be on board was probably part of the hardest part in the beginning, especially was getting you to really believe and take that full responsibility. And it wasn't just a thing to do on the side. And
right. It's a side hustle for a little while. Right. I didn't necessarily buy in the beginning.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not afraid to touch on that.
Yeah.
Sure,
no,
it was something totally different.
Yeah.
Right?
And he was a little scared and nervous. And, but I remember getting you out of your comfort zone and pushing you into a world where you kind of had a little bit more control over your fate and your outcome and in your income level, so that you weren't struggling in poverty forever. And I came from that too, where I was at a career where I was in poverty, because I was building something and I don't want to stay there either. So, but I forgot the question because I have ADHD.
Well, that's actually part of some of our questions down the road. We'll touch on that.
You gave me too many things to remember.
All right, so we'll go to that question. We both actually have ADHD.
We do.
And it's very different, both of us. And it manifests in different ways, and it has very different ways of showing up. So how have you, what have you learned and how have you learned to manage and maintain a work-life relationship with ADHD on both of ours?
So
radars.
I've only known I've had ADHD for 3 years now, with a full diagnosis. I've had some people allude to it before that, but didn't really catch it until somebody sat down and explained it to me in a way that made sense. I always knew I thought different. I always knew that my brain was very different from everyone else, and it was always really hard to be that much of an outsider. And I still live in that world almost every single day, where I know my brain and the things I'm thinking are not always what is the norm, and that can be really challenging. But it also has a lot of strengths, like my ability to see 10 steps ahead. But where we collide is you only see one step ahead. And
I'm like, I'm like, just get through right now.
Right. Where, so I can see, within an instant, different directions of the paths that you could take, and which ways will work and which ways will have roadblocks and which would be the easiest way for you to take.
Right.
And you're like, I just have to take the next step. And I can clearly see that you're going down the wrong path, but you'll fight me on it.
Usually, yes.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. And so that can be
I gotta learn
really
twice the hard way twice, right? That's just kind of how I work.
But I think too, for you, after learning from Simon, that a lot of the information that I was giving you was more common knowledge in the entrepreneur world and in the leadership world, you had a lot more buy-in to what I was trying to explain to you. And that helped shape our relationship in a much more positive way.
Yeah, that's had to take a little bit more of my learning skills too. And realizing that, again, some of the stuff of me getting, we'll talk about reading and stuff here later. Some of the stuff I've been able to read actually made it so it wasn't just my wife was talking, right? Just to like tell me stuff. It was actually like, oh, wait a minute.
It feels so personal.
And sometimes it does. And we talk about that too. And again, like it is. Sometimes it just feels personal. There was what you said the other day. You sent me a Facebook.
Oh, it sent you a TikTok.
Yeah.
You resist the TikTok, and I keep sending you TikTok videos.
I'm not there yet. But it talked about
TikTok's great.
If what was it? Do you remember offhand?
If you're always so one of the things that you tend to do is I'll say a sentence that's just a statement, and you add emotions and
I hear all different things
and
of it,
all
right.
Sorts of weird things, and I'm like, I clearly didn't say that, and
she
I can go back.
Weird things, emotions and feelings,
weird.
Definitely
weird.
Right.
Like it's just information.
Not just, you know.
Right.
It's just information.
Right.
Like it's like, hey, what did you spend this? You know. Like you went to Target and spent $200. What did you spend it on? And not that you did anything bad or wrong. I'm just asking.
Why did you go to Target and spend $200? What are you doing? And she's really like, hey, what did you buy at Target? Right. But I hear like, what are you doing spending money at Target? Like, you know, but it was if you always hear something one way.
Right. So he puts all these like other things into the words, and I'm like, that's not what I said at all, or what I, you know, and I clearly go back and read what I wrote and it's not there.
No, so. What was the quote though?
It was something about how if that's been your whole life where like you had to figure out if people aren't.
If you had to read between the lines your whole life, then when someone's actually clear with stating
speaking
to you,
directly,
it doesn't make sense because you've been conditioned to read between the lines and have to like underlining tone of like, right. And I was like, holy crap.
Right. Where I'm the other way where I can't read between the lines and I need you to tell me directly. So
right. I'm like, Caroline, it's so obvious. She'd be like, what?
I'm like, you didn't say anything right there.
Right.
Like, that's just a bunch of fluff.
I feel like I'm being so clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You switch.
Like finishing my sentences. You know what I'm saying? And I remember the first time, and most people around me did, they got where I was going. I remember the first time I talked to somebody, she was like, no, I don't understand. And I was like, it annoyed me because I was like, I'm already past that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I repeated myself in a way I thought she would understand. I said, so you understand? No. And so I repeated it again. She was like, I feel like you're repeating yourself. And I was like, I,
I try to come back with that and just say, can you explain it in a different way? Because sometimes the way he'll explain it, I'm like, I don't understand. But if I ask him to repeat himself, then that's not really helping. Can you explain it in a different way? Or I can't relate to that. Can you come up with something?
And that exercises the mind too, to be able to talk to different audiences and not get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
Of communication. Yeah.
Sure.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Let's see. You were a schedule and task guru, Caroline. Again, that's because you've actually built systems and stuff
prior to your knowledge
of knowing you had ADHD to actually manage that.
Right.
So you've actually been able to build our own website at YoFresh with minimal help. And you have a mythical calendar set up, and you use FocusMates recently to help with your workday.
Yeah.
Can you share more about FocusMates and what they are and how they help you?
So FocusMates is this really weird video chat service, which is not really weird. So you get matched randomly around the world with people who are also working on their own. It's kind of having a virtual accountability partner, a study buddy. So you can go on and schedule 24/7. I could go on right now and have a partner for at the next 15-minute interval. You work for 50 minutes, so you get on, you get matched with a random person.
All right, so we're on. I got some work to do. You got some work to do.
And so. I say, hey, Dawn, I'm here to work on. I'm trying to get as much receipts entered into QuickBooks as much as I can. And you say,
I'm working on my questions for my webcast next week.
That is so cool.
And I say, great. And then we both mute and we work for 50 minutes without talking. But that person's sitting there on a video chat in front of you. And you can talk, you can text, you know, chat with them online. And then, at the 50 minutes, there's a little timer that goes off and you come back and you say, I did this. And they said, I did this. And then you say bye. And you never have to see that person again if you don't like them ever.
I need to focus, and
this is actually how I met my virtual
assistant. It's basically just like virtual, accountability, right?
Virtual accountability, study buddy.
So it's kind of making sure you're on
really
task.
Reasonable. It's $5 a month service. And I'm on there. I think I've done over like 1300 sessions. Which is insane since COVID started. It's how I started focusing. But I met my virtual assistant.
I was going to say, tell us more about your virtual assistant. She's kind of our friend.
Yeah. So my virtual assistant is in the UK. And if there's people you like on FocusMate, you can share your link to like book with each other so that you can work with the same people and like pre-book who you're working with in chunks of time. And I like to work in two session blocks without a talk in between. So the talking distracts me. So she's one of the ones that I co-work with very frequently. And I actually get up and FocusMate with her at 5 a.m. So she's already working. It's like 10 in the UK. Sometimes she's even done work for us already before I even wake up and it's sitting in my email. But I say hi to her in the morning and she says hi. She tells me what she's doing and I usually do my morning routine. And then at 6, you know, I head to the office and do stuff. But it helps me even getting out of bed and that person to be accountable with so I don't pick up my phone and start scrolling.
Sure.
And keeps me off my phone in the morning, which actually helps me not be so dopamine deprived later in the day because I'm not getting that dopamine hit from scrolling, which the ADHD brain wants. So I go get my dopamine from accomplishing tasks and scroll later at night. So
makes sense.
That's what I do.
Awesome. So as we sit here with both of you, I think you can both kind of say this. So we'll start with you since you have the microphone, Caroline. How has your comfort space become a source of revenue for you? Right. Because we're talking about a closet a little bit, right? That's
right.
Your comfort space. For me, it's a kitchen. Right. For you, it's so how have you taken the steps to make your comfort space a source of revenue?
So the pool is the only place I ever feel at home and I'm ever completely 100% myself. Like I'm more comfortable in a swimsuit in the pool than I am anywhere else in the world. That's kind of weird for most people to hear. But the water is calming and it's quiet. When you're underwater, it's very sensory depriving. And now that I know that I have ADHD, that all makes sense. And being in the water is kind of like having a weighted blanket on all the time. So that's where this all kind of started, but I didn't know it. And then I started coaching when I was 19, summer league here in Youngstown. And then out of college, I got a job coaching full time. At a junior college, I coached some All-Americans. Through that, I learned I do not like coaching college-age kids. They're very boring. Now I know it's because I have ADHD, so I like the little ones. I like to build their strokes because they're always active and busy, and it's a very busy hour. And so I came home in 2008, started the Piranha Aquatics program, and then through that, had some kids with special needs walk on the team and learned how to work with them best, kids with children with autism who are now seniors in high school, which is crazy. And then that's kind of how that all turned into a revenue source for me. So I built a swim club in Salem. And then through that transition to working with kids with special needs and pre-COVID, that was what I did for my full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually prefer it now that it's my part-time job. It's a little less stressful that way. And working with kids with special needs can be very exhausting on my body. So it's good to have that time down too.
Sure. And you kind of been able to do the same thing. You've kind of been able to take something that is your comfort zone, photography, marketing, that kind of stuff, and peopling. And you're kind of like, right?
Peopling, I like
and you're
it.
Like turning that into a revenue stream. So like how, tell us about, you know, how's that work for you?
I love it. I love talking, but I love also listening. And I think that that's kind of where what I do kind of comes in, because my family used to, my family does now tease me, because we'll go out somewhere, and when most people would be like, hey, how's it going? Da 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 da. And just in small talk, I'll hear something and I want to go deeper. I'm like, so I'll take something. And next thing you know, if I'm not careful, there's a full conversation. And I've thought a lot about it. And I think, you know what? I really care though. Like, I'm not trying to make conversation. I'm not just trying to talk to be heard. I actually want to know these things. I realize I'm naturally curious, and maybe more curious than the norm. So I feel like that comes in a not so obvious way. Like, people see me talking, or people see me out there marketing or connecting people. But I really believe that it comes from a base of curiosity, a base of wonderment, that type of thing. And then when I was a kid, my sisters used to get so upset because I'd sing in the car, or I'd naturally talk loud. They're like, why are you talking so loud? And then I'd get hurt feelings because I was like, I wasn't even talking loud, or, you know, this or that. And my mom used to always say, Debbie, one day you're going to get paid for talking. One day you're going to get paid for talking. So what I did is, after she passed away, suddenly, as a tribute to her, I joined Toastmasters. And that was like my, I talked before then, but Toastmasters was really my connection point, kind of even separate than Young Sound Click, to just honor her, to say, you know what? The one person that never got annoyed with my talking and conversation, and actually used it to kind of hone my confidence. She would send me in to talk to people that my sisters wouldn't want to do. So basically, that's a little roundabout way of just saying, I love right now, like you said, it's like a convergence of the things I love: talking to people, curiosity, photography, videography. It's like a convergence, and I love it. And I love meeting so many new people, because, like Joe here at the studio, look what he's built.
It's amazing.
And if it wasn't for Young Sound Click, Yo Fresh, I could be in this city and not know that this was down here.
Sure. No, that's great. Again, it's funny because it seems like you ask why a lot, right? Like, that's kind of like your why. You want to know why. And that's awesome. So it kind of brought up, again, back to our why. And last week, again, I think we touched on it, but it wasn't live. But we touched on it. You got to hear some of it. And Caroline, you know, too, my why. So like I said, this is kind of like, right, like, this is my why. Like I said, this is the one that keeps me up at night, right? And keeps me going, keeps me motivated, keeps me humble, you know. And my why is kind of somewhat similar to something you mentioned on. My why is leaving a legacy and having impact, because I lost my mom to a doctor prescribed overdose, and was on the same path myself, you know. But through the right paths and the right decisions and choices, and the right change of people, places, and things, and all those things, and finding my why, you know, we're able to be here now. Well, sometimes.
In the midst of this, can you share what you shared with me about
the
phantoms? About
We could talk about the phantoms again. We can sit and talk about Yo Fresh for like weeks at a time, and all the little twists and turns and people along the way. For me, again, it was, we were in High Valley Teen Challenge. Again, that was where I went for a year-long rehab program. My drugs of choice at the time were opiate pain pills. And a lot of people around me didn't really know that there was an issue, because I didn't look strung out on drugs. I had a job. I paid bills, right? I looked like I had my stuff together. But losing my mom, again, it was the realization of knowing that if a person that I knew was convicted of murder for killing my mom, I believe in my heart I would like to forgive that person, but I wouldn't call them every day to go hang out with them. And that was one of the first really moments when that clicked in my brain, was I'm literally going to hang out with the person that took my mom away from me every day. I'm calling him. I'm going to find him, right? I'm calling him all day long, right? I'm just trying to hang out with him all the time. So that was, for me, that was part of my eye-opening experience. And on the journey to get to even this point. But in Ohio Valley Teen Challenge, I ended up in the kitchen. Imagine that, right? Chef Don was in the kitchen in the rehab place, which was a good place to be. I got to eat pretty well, at least, you know, when I could. But we would go out to right here at the Covelli Center. We had work details, and one of them was cleaning up. We call them the bowl cleans at the Covelli Center. So again, after all the good events, you could imagine all the nice popcorn, red slushies on the floor, pretzels, bubble gum, right? there were monster trucks and mud and all that good stuff all over the floors. And we would sweep and mop and clean up. And yeah, I like to go just get out of the house, out of the rehab facility. Because again, a lot of the work details, I would stay behind and prepare their meals. So when they would come back, I would be there cooking lunch all day, and they would come back for dinner and stuff like that. But I distinctly remember being at the Covelli Center, walking around, pushing my broom. I said, I could take you over there right now and take you to about the right row where I was at and pretty much the exact place I was. And I just seen some local, there were local banners and signs around, local logos. And I just real simple was like, Lord, I want a logo someday. And that was really it at the time. I didn't think much else about it. I probably went along. I finished sweeping them up on the floor. Probably had some popcorn off the floor, dumped some out of the box, right, and ate some popcorn. And I went about my day. And then, again, before I knew it, you know, I finished up that program and whatnot. And YoFresh is kind of starting. Even before YoFresh, there was a gift from my wife for a birthday present. Our friend Becky drew me up a little logo, DR Culinary. So I had a logo, right? And it didn't even dawn on me even then at that time, you know, right? It still didn't click. See what I did there? And thank you. And so it still didn't click yet. But fast forward, you know, we have this YoFresh thing started up. We got a new logo. Caroline asked some questions of a local friend of ours from iSynergy. I'll give them a quick shout out at over at iSynergy, our friends over there. They do a lot of good stuff and help out a lot of good marketing stuff on our end, and Google search and all that stuff. And they taught me a lot about all kinds of good stuff that I can't remember right now at the top of my head. But Steve would have been proud. But Steve Cross actually was able to come along, and he actually honestly gifted us, looking back at it, was this promotion with the Covelli Center, to where we actually had our logo in the Covelli Center on the boards and on the ice, like for the Phantoms games, for the home season for like 2 years. And again, it's a crazy story, and it's hard for me to share sometimes because it doesn't make sense at all to like the normal brain to wrap around that somebody gifted me that package, and that 6 years ago that I was in a place where I was to where I'm a place now. It's hard to even wrap around and think about it. Logo. I didn't even know. They said that God heard, right? God heard what I said. And like I said, it came to fruition, and it was literally he revealed it to me again. Like, it showed me, like, I heard you, you know. Yeah. But again, my why too, again, it's to leave a mark here, because again, my parents, I love them. They did the best they could with what they had, but I've been given the opportunity now to have a little bit more knowledge in that, and I just want to make sure that if there's anybody, again, struggling with the addiction or some of the struggles that I've gone with, or even some of the kids we get to talk to at Inspiring Mind Youngstown, or even through this, if there's like that one person that can maybe just get something, right, that I didn't have up until my age now in my 40s, because I've gotten a lot, most of my knowledge and books and stuff I've read has been at a later age, to where if I can get a young kid in his 19 or 20 to get a hold of something, right? Yeah. Or just even a bit of encouragement to be like, look, bro, you can do this stuff, right? Like, or look, girl, you can do this. You want a podcast, you can have a podcast. You want to do this, you could do this. Like, cause right. Yeah. There's exactly yeah. Over Joe's, right. Same thing. Like a couple weeks ago, I was like, I want a podcast. Like, cause again, shout out to my mentor, Simon, right. Simon Aries. I'm like, this dude has a Grindcast. And that's kind of how I got, that's what attracted me to find mentors, was again, a podcast, something like even like this, that Simon did, to be able to see my mentor do it and saying, I would like the chance to do that. And just finding a way to make it happen. Again, we talk about addiction sometimes, and too, like, I knew back then, like, if I wanted to go find something, I found it, right? If I needed to make it happen, I made it happen. But as now, like, in life, we get to that point, like, we don't really want to do that stuff. Like, I don't want, it's hard. Like, I don't really want to go do that, and I don't want to have to put up with that. But
I think
that's the stuff that, like, you have to go through.
But even for you, it's learning that you had the skill set to do it, because, you know, if you were in addiction, you would have found no, like, there would have been no barriers to finding what you needed.
Right, exactly.
And it's the same thing. So even those things that are maybe not our positive past, that they still taught us skills that are, if you put them in the right arena, can actually make you thrive. And sure. I think that's even for one of the things that you and I worked on, was reframing some of the skill sets that you had and putting them in a more positive direction, and like on the right, using that same go get, like, I want right. this thing, right? Like, I want this thing. Well, go get it. Like,
right.
Figure out what you need to do to go get it and go sure. do it.
It's like, I got the opportunity to be interviewed with Mahoney Matters this week as well. And I told her it was the same kind of deal. Like it's that obsessive behavior and that thought process, right? That we'll say that addicts have, but it's what if it's just really just like misdirected, right? Not that I was an addict. I was obsessive, right? So now obsessive about like white shoes, right? I'm obsessive about like, right?
It's not a healthy habit, honey.
Right? I'm obsessive about like
not a healthy habit.
Different things that I move, right? And that's fresh white shoes, right?
Always
obsessive about like making sure my shoes are white, you know, and
always
and that stuff. I'm obsessive about things, but it's taking that obsessive and getting the negative away from it and finding the positive, like we just talked about, right? So again, now I'm obsessive about like setting goals in my life. I'm obsessive about maintaining, a healthy relationship. I'm obsessive about doing better. I'm obsessed about leaving a legacy. I'm obsessed about making sure my kids are taken care of and doing better than I did before then, right? You know, and obsessed about the positive stuff. So it's really a mindset of, sure, you again, it's not so much addicted, but obsessive. And again, like for me, it's knowing too, like now that I know, we haven't touched on this too, but depression, right? I battled depression my whole life, not knowing that I'd battle depression, right? Until recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't touch on that, but there was a major struggle in the beginning of Yo Fresh. Yep. My depression reared its ugly head pretty rough there. Now looking back at it, now I can see that there was a time that it was bad. Like I didn't want to get out of bed. Like I didn't want to.
Yeah, you'd wake up on a day that we had to go to the incubator and cook.
And just lose my stuff.
And he was losing his mind and just upset. And I can't do this.
Couldn't
and
do
like,
it.
Like, and I finally remember just saying to him one day, like, get out of bed and go cook. Like, right. You don't have a choice. Like, I can't do this.
Right.
Like, I don't cook. We've learned very early on.
It's not your
Caroline
specialty.
Should not be in the kitchen on a regular basis. It's not a good space. But like, that's your space. Go do your thing. And then I remember pushing you to get help and medication because I could kind of see, right. Like that's taking that step back that you were a lot of your addictive, your problems before were stemming from unbalanced chemicals in your brain. And so seeking, right. Those things, the dopamines
and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And so then I'm watching you go through the cycle. And I even remember in the beginning when you started your meds and you're like, I hate these, I feel flat. And I said, but you're used to like this
the manic, right?
manic, depressive. And honestly, it's really exhausting. And it's exhausting, you know, as your partner, because you don't even know what you're going to wake up next to that day.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah. It was hard. Fun, and, sure. But like once you got three months or so into your medication, like I remember explaining, like, it's just, they're just supposed to be like this. Like, you'll have days that are like this or like this, but like most of the time, most people are like this and that's where you want to be. You're not really flat. You're just not. Yeah.
I remember the first time I heard the birds chirp.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can distinctly remember like it was just a day, but for whatever reason, my medication, right. My antidepressants were working or whatever. It was like the first time, like the noises in my head turned off and I like literally heard birds chirp and I was like, oh, wow. Right. Like this is normal for everybody else. Right. Like, but in my head, it was always noise and chaos.
Well, and you know, like with me and my ADHD, I just switched to whatever medication I'm on now. It's my third different med. And I didn't realize how much I had anxiety until this medication made it go away. And now I'm having to relearn how to work without anxiety being the driving factor of my work. And that's a very weird space to be in at almost 40 years old. So it's amazing what, like, when your brain chemicals are off and then you get the things that work right for your brain, how your life can change and shape for the better, really. I mean, I remember, like, earlier this month, I finished my QuickBooks for the month, and it was, like, the third of the month, and I normally don't finish it till almost the end of the month, and that's a weird space because I normally, you know, jump around and skip around, and I was able to focus linearly on one thing. It was
ADHD,
amazing.
ADHD, don't think about House of Pain. jump around.
Yeah, my meds wore off a long time ago, so.
All right, I'm going to take a quick moment here and talk about some of our local sponsors and give them a quick shout out. And then I think we're getting close to our time frame here. I can have you ladies exit here to stage, and I'll talk about my sponsors, and we'll go to a little cooking segment. And we're going to make some steak, make some filet mignon tonight. But a quick shout out to Zabel's Restaurant Equipment Supply Store in Youngstown for all your fresh pans, knives, kitchen supplies, and janitorial needs. Check them out. Baderick's Butcher Shop in Mineral Ridge. Steve Baderick out there and his team keeps everything fresh cut and on point out there. Get all your meats, seafoods, and sausages and all those good things out there. KTM Power Sports in Canfield. Jason the gang out there keeps themselves busy with the latest KTM Power Motorsports and accessories. Stop out, see them, and get yourself a new cycle. Youngstown Apparel, our friend Maurice, and the Lube Stop on Belmont. Youngstown Apparel keeps me fresh. Nice shirts every week, so we give them a shout-out. Optimal Health and Wellness in Canfield, Susan Cavalier. Again, she also gives a local IV drip that keeps me hydrated with vitamins, minerals, antioxidants. It's the superhero drip is what I get weekly, and helps keep me running optimal and fresh. Charlie Borden, one more time for Borden's Detail. Keeps our whips fresh, protected for years to come from chips and scratches. And, of course, our friends here at Youngstown Studios. And, Joe, we definitely appreciate you guys for having us out and making this all possible. I know this week there's a couple events coming up to talk about real quick. Like we mentioned earlier, Youngstown Fleeds this weekend. My friend Doug Reed has a nice event going on for Legacy coming up for his Bridge of Hope here Thursday and Friday. And there was something else I just went blank on this weekend. Oh, yes, of course. Second Harvest Food Bank's Taste of the Valley. We're excited about that. We'll be there. That's this Sunday at Stamb Auditorium. Come out and get your tickets, get a taste of the valley, and help support Second Harvest Food Bank. All right, now the transition time here, kind of like Mr. Rogers. A little shout out to Mr. Rogers. He's definitely one of my go-tos back in the day. Right, get my coat here, change my shoes. I don't want to get anything on our nice Youngstown Apparel shirt. So today when we were out, we were able to stop over at our friend Steve Bedurek's Butcher Shop. And while I was there today, I picked up half of a beef tenderloin. So what we're going to do today, we're going to sear some of them off. Bring this a little closer to me here. Let me get my pilot up and running here. Get our burner on first so we get some heat. And we're going to just get that going first. So, beef tenderloin, right? Get your filet mignon out of here. It's your higher end cut. Really a muscle that doesn't get used a lot on the cow. That's why it's really tender. It's definitely a leaner piece of beef. There's not a lot of fat content around it, but there is a little bit of marbling in the tenderloin itself. So, again, we tend to get this. We go to our nice high-end steak houses. We'll order our filet mignons. And this is kind of the pre-product beforehand. Stevie, go ahead and took that down a little bit for me and got off most of the silver skin here. But that's kind of that little white silver piece on the outside. Looks like a bit of a skin there. That's actually unedible, and your body doesn't really have an easy time breaking that down, that silver skin, so we make sure we get all that off. As we see here again, this is pretty well cleaned up in tenderloin here. Nice, there's a little bit of that silver skin there. We'll get that off. There's not a whole lot of fat. That's why this is actually the leaner cut of meat. But again, there's a little bit of nice marbling in there as well. So we're going to keep this simple. We're just going to cut a couple little steaks out of this. Nothing big and crazy. Nice sharp knife there from Zobbles. J.A. Henkel brand is one of my favorites. They have a nice wide selection in there at Zobbles. And again, this beautiful tenderloin we picked up today at Bedurek's. Nice marbling. Looks really good. Nice and lean. So we're going to start off real simple. Like I said, we got our pan going there. We got our little bit of olive oil in there. Go real simple here today. We're going to go salt, pepper, and coffee. So you can use whatever maybe local coffee you would like. I have something dark here, I believe is a Colombian, that we picked up from Libs in Salem, our friends out there. They definitely have all kind of good coffees out there that are fair trade and all that good kind of environmental stuff that we kind of care about and make sure is important. They do as well. Now we've had this meat, again, before you're doing this at home, you're going to have that tenderloin sit out maybe a few minutes, 5-10 minutes before you're going to cook it and just kind of get the temperature and the chill off of it. It just makes it a little bit easier to sear and cook. And we're going to take a little bit of this ground coffee here and just kind of dust the top of this. Our pan's starting to smoke, so we're going to turn that down a little bit. I'm gonna flip our meat over there. Same thing, both sides, right? Everybody see that guy, the Salt Bay guy, right? That little high. Why he does that? The reason he does that so high is because that way you'll get a better coverage and it won't be so clumpy on the meat. If you want to do that way down here, you're gonna get a lot of salt in one space. So we got our salt, our pepper, and our coffee there. Just gonna kind of rub that in there real nice. We got our nice smoking hot pan here. As you can see, it's definitely smoking hot. I'm just gonna place our fillets in there. Got that nice sizzle. You definitely want to make sure your pan's hot. We'll get that back on the flame there. Now, we bought the whole tenderloin today with a head end right here. So you would cut steaks all the way down. You kind of see how that V shape here. So really, you can take this end here. If you maybe like some bacon wrap fillets, right? You'd be able to cut that down. Use that. Take a nice piece of bacon. Wrap around there, and you still get a nice steak. But for these ends, I like to take these down. You need to use them for a saute dish in a nice quick sear pan, maybe some steak kebabs, or anything we want to do, like maybe a saute dish, maybe like a teriyaki beef, something like that. But you basically clean that off, and again, that's your just nice fillet cut there that you would get your nice steaks from. We're getting a nice sear here on our tenderloins here. We can see. Nice no stick, nice golden brown. Even cooking on a nice pan there, non-stick pan. That makes it easier. We're gonna let those cook now. Again, depending on how you like your steaks, depending on how you want to cook them for. Medium, medium rare, probably the best way to go. I'm not a super rare meat guy. Again, I blame my mom for how she cooked when I was growing up. But these beef tips here, again, the good thing about this is there's no waste. This is all beautiful. Filet mignon, beef tips, maybe beef tips and noodles, steak salad, maybe some French fries, that kind of thing. Great to use that up for that. So we're going to pull these off here and wipe our board off and play with some of our fun stuff underneath. The thing about these steaks, too, I'm getting ready to pull these off here, and we're going to let them rest. That's one of the most important things about beef and steaks, and pretty much all meat when you're cooking, is the rest time. So if you could picture this meat right now, all little molecules in there, probably like your kids, late night when they've had a bunch of sugar, right? They're up and they're running around, screaming, hollering, going crazy, and that's what all the molecules are doing right now in this meat. So we're going to pull them off and let it set. So all that stuff inside can rest and come together before we cut it open. Because if we were to cut them open now, all that good juice inside is just going to get lost. It's going to cut, and we're going to open it, and it's going to run out, and we're not going to have any of it left in our steak. It's going to be really dry. So we're going to try to do this little quick meal here in one pan, two, right? Because we don't like to do a whole lot of dishes. So while our steak's resting, we got our same pan here. We got some shaved Brussels sprouts we're going to throw in here. That way our oil is already hot in there. We got some of that nice beef flavor in there too already. And then we have some bacon. Can't go wrong with Brussels sprouts and bacon. Those are starting to come together, and I can smell the Brussels sprouts starting to get a nice sear on them. A nice little caramelization. A little piece of garlic here. We're going to throw them in there whole for now, just to let it cook and saute with the Brussels sprouts. Just a light cook on those. So earlier, we actually have some quinoa that we had. So we have some quinoa and onions and tomatoes. We're going to take this and put this right on our plate here as well. While our Brussels sprouts are cooking. There's some chickpeas in there, a little red onion, a little balsamic vinaigrette. That's some Mediterranean flavors in there. Now, we don't want to cook our Brussels sprouts too long. We kind of want these to have a little crisp to them, but still be tender to eat. That's why we kind of cut them really thin. and slice them down so they would cook faster. Then we could turn this back up, and we're going to add a little bit of butter, about a tablespoon. We'll just finish helping that cook a little bit. Our Brussels sprouts, we got some butter in there. Nice. Hope we're not making too much smoke in here, right? I can see cuddling there. We don't want to turn the sprinklers on there. We're going to go ahead and kill this heat now. And if we were at home, I'd probably cook these just for a few more minutes. But as is with a little smoke here, we're going to kill that heat. So now we have our two beautiful pieces of beef tenderloin. We have a nice couscous, or I'm sorry, a nice quinoa salad there. Now we have our nice Brussels sprouts with bacon, a little fresh butter. So going on there. All right, so heat's off there, so we're not making any more smoke. Got our Brussels sprouts, a little salad with our bacon. Got a little bit of mushroom tapenade here, bruschetta topping per se. Just some mushrooms and some olives and some olive oil. I'm gonna put those right on top of our filet as well. In just a few minutes like that, we just put together a nice meal, a nice dinner that you can have at home. Quick and easy. Some nice beef filet mignon, a nice little cold salad, some fresh Brussels sprouts. And again, that coffee rub from the steak got a nice little smell in the air. These are beautiful, ready to go. They've rested. Now we just do take a little cut up here, take a little taste, and have a little dinner. So tune in next time for some more fresh cuts, some fresh eats, some more eat good, feel good, do good from Yo Fresh here at Youngstown Studios. Until next time, eat good, feel good, do good. We'll see you then.